Yes, but what I'm interested in is the, I was sort of thinking about it when you were out of the room. It's whether there were any controversies about ideas, people arguing sort of one thing as opposed to another, and whether I've got an impression, but I'd like to hear what you say, then perhaps I can feed something
well,
in.
Well, I think the period that you mentioned, 48 to 59, was still more a period of consolidation, and we were learning from experience.
Yes.
For instance, one practice that I remember, we had at first been very, very keen to keep families of brothers and sisters together.
Yes.
And we learned that that was the right thing to do in some cases and not in others. So,
yes.
Because especially if children were very close in age, there was terrific rivalry.
Mm.
And they wrecked the foster homes for each other.
Yes.
One was the goody and the white-headed boy, and the other the black sheep, and then of course he acted out and became blacker and blacker. And we became more discriminating in that respect. And I think there were so many other things that we just learned from experience.
Yes, that's interesting, because that was when I was mulling it over when you were out there, and that's the conclusion I was coming to. That in that perhaps I've been wrong to assume that there were debates in the sense that there are debates nowadays. What people were doing was sort of working, what they're arguing about was formulations which reflected the experience. That
oh, I think they were beginning to do that too, but I think that became more acute later on when we had the 63 Act and when we had this swing towards group work and community work. I won't say that we didn't have ideas and debates about practice and more detailed, but it was a period, I think, of learning and consolidation.
When you've sort of talked about ideas this morning, I mean, I suppose it's partly because, I mean, I'm asking you about the child care service, but it all sounds very, if you like, agency specific, if I can make up that kind of phrase.
Yes.
If you see what I mean.
Yes.
And the does that reflect your view that I don't know whether you're involved in the genericism versus specific type
of
training debate.
Oh, I see. Yes. Yes. The training debate. Well, I was involved as a supervisor because I supervised first the child care students and then the generic students. I think if people agreed with the generic system on the whole.
Yes.
I don't think, but you better ask Mrs. Winnicott because she was much more involved in the policy making of that.
And what the impression from the field was, you think?
Yes. No, I don't think that there was much opposition to that. And of course, I didn't get the brunt of it so much because I got the ones who specialized in child care anyway as students.
Yes.
I found it very stimulating because I went to LSE, to the so-called supervisors groups, and then I learned from the other disciplines and their approach.
Yes.
And it was stimulating, and I think it was good on the whole. No, there was far more opposition to SIBO later than to the generic training.
Yes. Can I just explore one more thing?
Mm-hmm.
And then I've got sort of two set questions I've been asking.
Yes.
I mean, you sort of paid a big tribute to the sort of the understanding that the human growth and behaviour teaching from Dr. Winnicott and Dorothy Garden and so on, what that meant to you.
Mm-hmm.
And by when you talked about human growth and behaviour teaching, I guess you were really meaning an psychoanalytic understanding.
Yes, psychodynamic. Yes, yes.
Was that the sort of kind of the only explanation of family functioning around at that time? I mean, did everybody use that kind of language and those kind of notions to understand families, or did people, as they do nowadays, try and look for other vocabularies or other theories to draw on?
Well, in those first years, I think the trained people pretty well did, because they were brought up on those lines. I think, again, Mrs. Winnicott would know much more about that than I. Some of the courses were more psychodynamically orientated than others. But I think broadly that was the approach. We did have lectures in social psychology, which looked at other aspects too, but that was the core, I would say.
I was thinking that it's been said that the psychoanalytic viewpoint led social workers into concentrating excessively on the role of the individual in his own problems, to the exclusion, I mean, you were talking about a bit earlier.
Yes, yes. Oh yes, I think that would be fair.
Yes.
Again, I think depended on the individual. You couldn't, when there was some real hardship, illness and so on, you couldn't just concentrate on the psychodynamics of it.
Yes.
You had to do something about the practical side.
Yes.
So I remember students sometimes complaining to me when they had to do fairly practical things like receiving a child into care. If it was a quite straightforward reception into care for a fortnight while mother was having another baby, they say, oh, we are losing our psychodynamic skills because we're concentrating on the practical things. And one had to point out to them that this reception into care, however straightforward, was also something where psychodynamics came very much into play. It could be done sensitively and it could be done very insensitively. So it was all so interwoven. There's really no situation in life where psychodynamics don't come into it a bit. But perhaps that isn't that is an example of how the students were psychodynamically orientated. And I remember that was one from who said that, main one I can remember, but others did too. She was already from the applied social studies course.
Yes. Yes. Can I try on one of my set questions?
Yes.
Well, it leads on a bit, what we've been talking about. What some rather critical things have been said about social workers during this period, 1929-59. I'm thinking of the sort of things that Barbara Wootton ended up saying in Social Science and Social Pathology. You know that book, part two, is called Contemporary Attitudes. There's a whole chunk in there which is an attack on social workers for making excessive claims, saying that they could do things which she didn't believe they could. For being overly concerned with individual motivation and ignoring social context, and saying also that social workers did the sort of job that a private secretary or a lawyer did for more wealthy people, and really all you needed as a social worker was a modicum of good manners and some secretarial skills. And you know, I just wonder what you'd say. Someone who's actually worked during that period and lived in it. What do you think of the criticisms that were made?
Well, I don't know how the secretarial skills come in, unless she meant report writing and that sort of thing.
Phoning on behalf of
I see. Yes. Well, that certainly came into it, but the core of it, or is the caring. And social workers, I think, were and still are caring people. And that is what matters to the client. Tell you a little anecdote about that.
Yes.
I told you before about this girl at whom I roared once, quite deliberately. And many, many years later, when she was married to quite a well-to-do man, she suddenly sent me a very valuable present, which I was very reluctant to accept. I'm long out of care and I out of the work. And with it came a little note, "Thank you for always trying to help me," trying underlined.
Yes.
She didn't say that I was always successful in helping her, but she did say that trying had been enough. And that, I think, this caring
yes.
is what matters to the people.
Yes. So
that they know you mean something to them.
Yes. Yes.
Or they mean something to you, rather. Yes. If you like anecdotes,
yes.
I remember one problem mother who had far too many children and never paid her debts, and I had an arrangement with her once by which I met her at the post office when she collected her family allowance, and I lifted ten shillings, as it was then, off her each week to pay debts and grocery bills and so on. And one day she appeared and thrust a piece of paper into my hand and said, "This will shake you as much as it shook me," and vanished into the post office. And when I looked at the paper, it was a certificate of pregnancy.
Goodness.
But she assumed that it meant as much to me as it did to her, that I was sufficiently concerned
yes.
that I was as shaken as she was.
Yes. Yes.
And I think that is what matters.
Mm. Yes.
That neither a secretary nor a lawyer
yes.
can do.
What about the bit where she said social workers made excessive claims for what they could achieve? Do you think that's a fair criticism of this period?
I wouldn't be able to quote any concrete examples of that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, she draws a lot on American literature to demonstrate
yes,
that.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes one could point to quite remarkable successes, but of course one also has to take into account one's failures. And when one has been in the same area for as long as I have, one learns to live with one's failures as well. I see them running around the streets there.
Yes.
And no, I don't think one... Perhaps they have done it, I don't know.
She says that... what she calls the psychiatric approach
mm-hmm.
leads social workers into saying that they have this fantastic understanding of what you're thinking and what you don't even know you're thinking.
Yes.
They understand and they
yes.
know it. And she says, if they understand it so blooming well, how come they haven't sorted out some of the world's problems? Because there are certain
yes.
politicians who could benefit from that.
Well, and
you gave that impression.
One understands quite a lot, but one can't do anything about it.
Yes.
If you understand that a person is as inadequate or as unpleasant or criminal as they are because they have been rejected by their mothers, and it may in some cases be very obvious, but how can you make that good and cure that?
Shall I ask you my last question?
Yes.
This might... Hold on to your seat.
Yes.
Okay. Well, you don't have to restrict yourself to the period now.
Yeah.
48 for you. Uh-huh. Just look back on your
yes.
career. And I wonder what the you look back on as being the best social work thing you've done during your career.
Mm-hmm.
What gives you greatest pleasure and pride to think back on? And it can be several things.
Yes.
And any kind of thing.
One is a fostering. where, against much opposition from the children's officer, I placed two additional children in a foster home where I had already placed two.
Yes.
And the children's officer said, no, no, it's too much, and she, foster mother can't do it. And she did. And they are now, three of them, happily married, grandchildren, all in touch with the foster mother, mm-hmm. close touch. The son, who was the most affected by all his previous history, they went through hell and high water with him. He went to Boston and prison and what have you, mm-hmm. and he adjusted himself and got married, and unfortunately he died young of cancer. But the girls all did very well, and that was a great satisfaction to me, to that fostering. Yes. And others too, where I have placed children from the nursery and seen them married from the same foster home. Yes. And that, of course, is the result of having been in one area for so long, which is perhaps professionally not the best thing, but it did give me a lot of satisfaction. And there was another family, a very disturbed woman with three little boys, and one of my very knowledgeable colleagues said, no, they haven't got the chance of a snowball in hell. And they did stick together and got on. I mean, I know eventually she left, but they were all more or less grown up then and could stand on their own feet more. And she was and remained a disturbed character. And but it was something. One has to limit one's objectives in social work very much and to know what material one's working with. And sometimes one feels it isn't a great thing that people have achieved, and there are still great flaws in their family life and so on, but for the material one has been working with, it is something.
Yes.
But this fostering has given me great satisfaction. And I think there are others were also good fostering. And of course I have had traumatic setbacks and things that have gone wrong.
Do you want to say anything about those?
One adoption that went badly wrong, and I've recently been involved with it, where it was nearly a court case, so it didn't come to it, but I might have given evidence. Because one also has to take into account that what a child needs at one stage and what the foster parents have to give is not necessarily what they need at another stage. There was one foster mother who gave great security to a child who was terribly pushed about and insecure at one point. And she needed this almost obsessively clean and tidy environment.
Yes.
And of course later on there was a great fracas.
Yes.
But one learns from all these things. And
are you one of these social workers who still keeps up with one or two?
Yes. Well, as I say, they keep up with me. It's simply by my geographical position. I'm in my own area still, and I run into them when I go out shopping.
They're right to you.
Yes.
And you found out with their children.
Yes. Something with this good fostering there, I'm in touch with all of them. Yes. And I've been asked not very long ago whether some former foster children would talk to a collection of social workers about their experiences in care, and I was enough in touch with some of them to ask them, and they did.
Lovely.
Well, they were quite honest. I wasn't there myself. I thought they would be less inhibited if I didn't go. And Some who had a very stormy adolescence, I know, talk quite honestly about that. And another one who had a good experience talked about that, so it gave a fairly objective view.
Yes, yes. Well, thank you very
so
much.
So I was very happy that, I will say, in this profession.
Good. Thank you.